The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted, blessed are you when you are reviled. Where do you fit into all this? I always find myself wondering this when I hear the Beatitudes, and I'm never quite sure. Let's take a look. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, I can say that since sometime in Sunday school, I think, when I was a kid, people have been working hard to see that I am not poor in spirit. So that one's out. Blessed are those who mourn. Well, mourning is good when you are sad, you've lost a loved one, but doesn't our society tell us enough is enough, it's time to move on? I'm not mourning at present. Perhaps I'm not blessed. Blessed are the meek. Well, in a society in which all of our models, at least for the youth, are arrogant, who wants to be meek? We have classes in assertiveness. Assertiveness training classes. Who here would raise their children to be meek? Meekness is not a virtue, and yet there Jesus goes. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I think I do this, but do I do it enough? I don't know. Blessed are the merciful. I try to be merciful. Do I do it enough? I doubt it. Blessed are the pure in heart. Here's one. I shouldn't say it from the pulpit, I suppose, but my friends, I do not really fall into this elite crowd of pure in heart. Enough said on that. Peacemakers, does that mean I can never cause conflict or strife? That's another order which is too tall for me to fill. And blessed are those who are persecuted. I'm not persecuted. I don't seem to fall into any of these categories. I suspect there are some out there who feel the same way. I think if we're going to understand the Beatitudes, we need to take a moment and understand what is behind them and how to interpret these words of Jesus. Now, just a little background. This passage we heard falls at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. So these are the first words Jesus speaks in the Sermon on the Mount, which is a long sermon. It covers three full chapters in Matthew's Gospel. And this is how it starts, with these Beatitudes. A word, by the way, which does not appear in Scripture. Anyway, this is part of Jesus' continuing ministry of turning things upside down and twisting things. The last shall be first, the first shall be last. These Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, these aren't the people who are blessed, right? These aren't the people who are blessed, not in his culture, not in our culture. Truth is that Jesus is speaking here in the indicative mode rather than in the imperative mode. And when I read that, I had to look it up. I think when I was in eighth grade, I probably knew that. But suffice it to say that Jesus is not telling his disciples to do something. He is telling them about the nature of God, about the capacity of God to bless. blessing itself is a word in this passage and beyond that doesn't mean happy. It does often in English get translated here as happy in more contemporary versions of the Bible, but it really is much deeper than that. Blessedness is much deeper than that. Happiness comes and goes with the wind. Blessedness is something that is there, that is a part of you, that sustains you through the downtimes. It is not fleeting. Now, when you're looking at and trying to figure out what these Beatitudes say and mean, you have to remember that Jesus spoke in Aramaic, which is akin to Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. So you've already got one translation, and then it gets translated for us into English. Fortunately, there are scholars out there who understand these things that are a big help to people like me who are trying to expound on them going forward. But it's all against culture. It is Jesus running against the culture, and it is not just first century Palestine. It continues today. He is preaching to the kingdom of America just like he was preaching about the kingdom of God. The coming kingdom, end times, is what Jesus is talking about here. Now, taking a look, the word that Jesus used for poor, blessed are the poor in spirit, this word does in fact mean poor, but it's a rather extreme form of poor. The Greek word says essentially blessed is the person who is absolutely destitute. And the Aramaic word that Jesus would have used would have no earthly, the poor would have no earthly resources whatsoever. And the key is that that person has to put trust in God alone. So poor in spirit that you trust in God alone. This is what poor in spirit is getting at. It is about relationship with God. Blessed are those who mourn. Well, the word here does mean to be sad, but it means not so much about for the loss of a loved one. The mourning that Jesus is talking about here is in response to the fallenness of God's created order, of the suffering of the world and the sinful nature of the world. We mourn the status of what God has created. In addition, we mourn our own sinfulness. And again, come to know our relationship with God through our mourning of this sinfulness. Blessed are the meek. We love this one. Blessed are the meek. Now, the word used for meek here is essentially a synonym to the word that is used for poor in spirit. It is not a matter of a particular attitude one is urged to adopt, but rather characterizes those who have renounced violent methods of this worldly power, i.e., in other words, kingly power. The meekness is in contrast to the power that a king wields over his subjects. Meekness is about setting aside that kind of power. And it is a characteristic that is found in people who have humbled themselves before the greatness of God. Meekness, once again, is about the will of God and about relationship with God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In Matthew's gospel, one is righteous when one is actively doing the will of God. Righteousness is not just a state of being, it is an act of doing, doing God's will. So those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are those who are striving to live a life that is doing God's will. They're not longing to be personally pious, a state of being. They're longing to a state of doing. Blessed are the merciful. What does it mean to be merciful? Well, once again, the word Matthew uses here for mercy refers to concrete acts of mercy rather than merely a merciful attitude. For this evangelist, Matthew, mercy is a broad term, includes both compassion and forgiveness. The model for mercy has its origins in the book of Exodus, second book of the Bible, which deals with Moses leading the people out of Egypt, and then working with God, as it were, to deliver the law. And Exodus describes God as merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. The implicit assumption here of these passages in which human mercy is extolled is that the merciful, those doing mercy, are imitating God. And you will recall that later in Matthew, Jesus says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Jesus looks for us to be merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. This one's always a challenge. Purity of heart is not merely the avoidance of, say, impure thoughts, but refers to single-minded devotion to God. This is appropriate to a monotheistic faith, and Jesus is speaking within a culture of faiths with multiple gods. But this single devotion is characteristic of a single God. The pure in heart are those whose devotion to God is uncontaminated, as it were, by thoughts and desires which distract one from that devotion. The opposite of purity in heart, of course, is divided heart. A divided heart is likely to serve two masters. And it is the case that later on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns us against serving two masters. He tells us it cannot be done. He says you cannot serve God and wealth. The Beatitude addressing pure in heart, I think, would extend that beyond just wealth. Singular focus. Peacemakers. It's clear that peacemakers designates not only those who live in peace, enjoying the fruits of peace, but those who devote themselves to the hard work of reconciling people and groups of people and nations. Peacemakers are active. Peacemaking is an active thing. It is not an attitude, as with so many of these. Remember that Jesus would say again later in the Sermon on the Mount that God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So peacemakers, in that context, strive to return good for evil and to love those whom they do not like. Where others build walls, a peacemaker builds a bridge. It is a task, it is a chore, it is a spiritual discipline. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, this verse corresponds to that first one. Blessed are the pure in heart. And in fact, this makes a kind of bookend to the Beatitudes running through. And it, as I say, it corresponds to that as a form of literary bracket. The group who receives this end time blessing is not composed of the oppressed in general, but those who are oppressed on account of their faith, because of their commitment to doing God's work, which, as I've said, is righteousness. The thing about the Beatitudes is there is an ethical component in the response. All of these call us to examine our relationship with God and what we are doing, either for that relationship or out of that relationship. There is an ethical component to how we live our lives and what we do. Amen.